aider les petites organisations ou les particuliers à se réapproprier leur communication par l'hébergement de courriels et de sites web, ainsi que par la création de sites web. Si c'est votre
anti-racism strategy for Canadian broadcasting, made possible with support from the Anti-Racism Action Program at Canadian Heritage. These important and timely events will help confront barriers experienced by Black, Indigenous, and people of color in the media.
Events will be hosted in Montreal, Vancouver, Halifax, Calgary, and Winnipeg, culminating in a national conference to be held at Carleton University in Ottawa. These events will host presentations and open forums to develop an anti-racism strategy that will reduce barriers to participation in media and broadcasting policymaking for racialized Canadians.
Register for free to join the event in person at UQAM on Saturday, April the 30th. Presentations start at 10 a.m.
Complete details are online at www.antiracism.media.
This is a CKT co-presentation. Everybody, this is the one and only Miss Chris. I hope you're having a wonderful day so far. Before we get into the quite serious topic of today's episode, there's a few things I want to point out. First of all, it is 18 degrees outside, ladies. Go and enjoy. You better get up, get out, and get some. Listen, I'm in my little get-up, get-together right now, giving real Parisian chic, because I have some business to attend afterwards. Another thing that I do want to point out also is that today is somebody's birthday, someone that is very special and dear to my heart, my baby Miss Hugo. I'll be playing a song and maybe 20-25 minutes in honor of Miss Hugo. Once again, wish her all the beautiful love, happiness, health, and stability that we can wish a fellow Taurus. So let's get into some things today. Oh, before we get, you know what, let me keep on that same happiness wavelength. So before we get into the real topics, what I did this weekend, I'm telling you one thing, ladies, because of the heat, the weather getting nicer and nicer, and somewhat of the mandates getting, you know, looser and looser, it comes hand in hand, one would believe. I do believe so, actually, because I do believe that the government would never put that many restraints and that many measures in the summertime, because they know who we are. Montreal people, one thing about us, we'll riot. We'll get down in these streets and make some ruckus. So I think they're trying to avoid that on our part, but listen, another thing, yes, something that I enjoyed this weekend is the beautiful event that I was lucky enough and blessed to attend. First of all, I want to give a big shout out to Miss Munib, Rico, Miss Nate from the Last Outrageous and Paseo del Picado this weekend on Saturday, which was everything and beyond. I had the time of my life. I've tried the vegan Baileys. It's not as good as the regular Baileys, but it's still drinkable. I enjoyed it. Nice alcohol, nice DJ sets. The music was on point per usual when you go to Outrageous. What else to expect? Another place that I had a lot of fun at was performing at Glitterbomb. Shout out to the whole Glitterbomb team. I thank you for having me there, and also thank you so much for the vibe, the energy the crowd was giving. It was just, listen, this weekend made up for the terrible week I've had, because I've had one goddamn of a hell of a week, but the weekend made it all for it. And then the last thing that I saw, I think it was just the moonshine, you know, just shaking my ass at moonshine. For those that were able to see her, my good sister Anna was playing, and I'm sad I wasn't able to witness the greatness once again, but I know my girl killed it. But now that I've mentioned the horrible week that I've had last week, I think it's time to get into the more serious part of this little episode. So as I mentioned on Instagram today, let me get it for you. Exactly. So episode 7, facing the darkness in order to find the light, ways to care for your mental health. So let me get comfortable. So basically, I've had definitely, I think last week was one of the toughest emotionally and mentally, one of the toughest weeks I've had in a very, very, very long time. Because one thing that I always pride myself on saying, it's almost like it became a motto for me over the years, is I refuse to be unhappy. Not saying that people are unhappy, you know, going through depression or just in not so happy states. I've made the decision to remain miserable. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that for me personally, for how hard I've had to fight for where I am in life right now, for the amount of work I've had to put to be able to stand where I'm standing right now, I simply can't let myself be in surroundings that make me miserable. You know, I always choose happiness over misery. That's just me. One thing about me is if it's not serving me joy and happiness and the ways of Whitney Houston, I'm not staying. I'm going. I'm leaving. I'm good. I'm quick on the chow. But there comes a point in life, because, you know, you're always growing. One thing about life is that it's a constant journey, right? You think you have... I thought I had figured out the key of mental and emotional stability over the years, because I had been through so much and I was always able to sit. Because the way I deal with stuff is I sit, I face them, I take a few days to myself where I do not care for any social interactions. I do not care for any... I will see you when time comes unless I have some things very important, like supporting my friends, for example. Even though I was trying to take a whole week off last week, you saw me at the club. Because one thing about me is I'll support my friends, and when my name is on the flyer, I'll show up, because that's work. And more than work, it's also, once again, supporting my friends. I know my girls, they put a lot of work. When Muneeb and Sana came on the show, a little per break on what we're talking about, but when Muneeb, Sana, and Mimi especially came on the show last week and told you guys about how a lot of people simply don't know or not aware of the amount of work DJs have to put to getting a whole mix or getting a whole track or set, whatever, together for a party. These people work a lot. Look beyond the event organizing and the party throwing and everything. These people are artists, and more than artists, these people are digital artists, which, one thing about me, I couldn't even open a computer if my life depended on it. I'm just not good with technology. So whenever I see my friends putting so much work, it's stronger than me, because my goals are my everything. So yes, you saw me last week at the club with a great smile and a nice face, per usual, but your girl was going through some things. And the things that are going through, just like I was saying earlier before this break, is, you know how you think you have everything figured out in life? I thought I had the key to mental and emotional stability figured out, because, once again, I refuse to be unhappy. That's what I always say. When something goes wrong, when something doesn't go accordingly, I sit. Because one thing I have to do is, one thing I'm fully aware of, is my greatest and my biggest and my first and strongest relationship on this earth is to myself. So when I'm sad, I can't simply just be sad, sit in my bed and not listen to myself, understand why am I sad, why am I unhappy. You know, because I do believe in therapy. Of course I believe in therapy, because I also believe that this is some sort of therapy. I feel like a lot of people would benefit a lot from simply, you know, instead of jumping straight to consulting and talking to other people, for example, which is something that... Let me drink some water first. Sorry. No bubbly today. We ran out of bubblies. Whoever is making those nice weekly, I presume, bubbly donations, trust and believe, I enjoy them thoroughly every Mondays. Thank you. Waiting for the next can. But anyways, so yeah. What was I saying? So facing and having a relationship to yourself, exactly. Having this relationship to yourself, meaning that before I get to maybe bring my issues and make light of my issues and problem to someone else for guidance or whatever, I also believe that it would be a great disservice to myself to not have this conversation with myself first. Which is why I said earlier, I like to take, when I'm really sad or something is really bothering me, I like to take maybe 1-3 days to my own, just to recharge, just to really face, think thoroughly, and trying to see the light at the end of the tunnel, like why. And even if I know the feelings and I know the reason why I'm feeling upset or feeling unhappy, it's also about understanding how can I come around this, or how can I come out of this. Because once again, you simply cannot be sad for the rest of your life. And that's when refusing to be unhappy comes in, because some people refuse to be unhappy by seeking help. People seek therapy all the time, which is an amazing thing, especially now in this day and age. People seek guidance from others, from elders, from people that have seen and have experienced more than them, which is another amazing thing, because you, once again, life is a constant journey. You're always learning and always learning more about yourself, about the world, and about the way life goes. But having those conversations with yourself, having those conversations with myself, for example, because I can only speak for myself. But last week, without getting into too much details, because one thing about this show is I'm very transparent. You girls have witnessed, I'm pretty much, I'll tell you, if there's one thing I won't say, it's my social insurance number, and I think that's pretty much it. That's the only thing you're not about to find out on this show. But without getting into too many details when it comes to my private life, I went out last Sunday, and which is so funny because, you know, we were planning on doing the etiquette episode, right? And the reason why I was so looking forward to do that episode is, even though we had thought of it before, Sunday something happened, right? I was going to a party. I won't even say where, but I was just going to a party. And somebody that I met, this girl, she comes at me and just says something that she wouldn't quite realize at the moment was quite rude. But once again, club etiquette, you can't just come up to people and speak to them as if you woke up in the same bed as them. Like, Miss Girl, I barely know your name, you know? So that person said something that really quite bothered me, and then I went to another party after that. It was the same night. And just when you think bitches are done for the summer, like Nikki said, somebody else comes up with a whole different type of energy this time. This time it was somebody really, and I ended up having a talk with that person, and that person did say that, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I felt the distance and everything, which, to be quite honest, is something that bothered me even more, because I want people to understand, that's one thing I'm going to point out also in this show, is if you feel some type of distance from someone, right, work within yourself. Once again, have those conversations with yourself to understand, why would this happen? Why am I feeling a wall with that person? Don't push it. Don't push to show that person that you're... It's just going to make that person even more upset. Like, think of yourself, do some retro thinking, and just think and react. And you know what? Oh, okay, maybe that's where... Or just reach out. Don't make it awkward. But anyways, all that to say, those two interactions back-to-back added to the lack of sleep, because I had been going out a lot that weekend. It was just... It really fucked me up real bad. It really did a number on me. And it did a number just because so many other variants. Because once again... It happened in the club, and there's so many different things that can happen in the club also. You know, it's just, the club is an exchange of energies. It's an exchange of everything. And just, I felt like I really needed to take a break, you know, just sit at home, not go out, not be in the mix with people, not be in the mixiness of all things. Just sit home with my good true crime documentaries, maybe a Sex and the City rewatch, you know, a little something. Just me, things that make me happy, and just thinking. But you know, life isn't that beautiful. Right when you're asking for a break, right when you're begging Father in Heaven for that break, that's when everything happens to you. In that week, it was just at some point I was telling my roommate, I was telling the girl, girl, at some point, you know what, on aura pas de facile, when is it gonna end? When is it ever going to stop? You know, I was just like, if it's one thing in this world that you're going to find out is, if it's not about a thing, it's another. There's always something else. And that's another reason why I always prone and always preach the quote unquote, I refuse to be unhappy mantra, because there's always going to be something worse coming forward. There's always going to be something, and there's always going to be something best and something better also. You can't sit and think of life as a series of unfortunate events. You know, it's not simply like that. There's, life is about an exchange of everything, and from everything exchanging means you have great things, you have good things. So in that week, even though I was lucky enough that I didn't have too much work that week, I was able to really take the time to myself and just stay home. But like I said, the world had different plans for me, and it was just, you know, first of all, it was a phone call from a family member, and one thing that you people might not be aware of is, at first I didn't want to speak on about it, but my friends, they opened my eyes on one thing, and it's that by speaking on it, somebody else that might be going through that situation might relate and see some light, like I always say, at the end of that tunnel. So I got a phone call from my mother, right? And just to give you a backstory, I left my family when I was maybe 17, turning 18, so that's been years ago. And I haven't really spoken to my family since then, so let's say 6 years from then, from now. And I haven't spoken to them in 6 years, and here comes my mom calling me, you know, reaching out to me, because she doesn't have this number, so she reached out through my sister, because I still talk to my little sister. And she's, you know, saying mom wants to talk to you, and I'm like, oh, here it goes. All I'm asking him for is a fucking week. And here comes this lady coming back from the past, like the three ghosts of Christmas, to tell me that she needs to give me a phone call. Now, mind you, I know it's not for my birthday. My birthday is in 2 weeks from now. So I'm like, what does this lady want? So I, you know, I gave her a call, whatever. It's not even, I really thought at first she was going to call me and curse me out for all of this nonsense I've been giving you guys on CKUT every Mondays at 6. I thought she was going to call and give, you know, show me her, the way she thought about my little artistry. But it wasn't even about that, no. It was just her asking for help in terms of some family matters, some family trauma that I won't be getting into, but the drama that I was exposed to, not exposed to, but the drama that she basically told me. Now, mind you, I haven't spoken to these people in 6 years, so it's just me on the other line of the phone just hearing everything that's been transpiring in the past year, and it's just, I was so shook. And even though I always said the reason why I left my family was because I always refused to be unhappy. I knew that I wasn't going to wake up at 40 years old and think, what if I had done things differently? What if I had pursued my dreams? What if I had decided to be true to myself? That wasn't going to be the case. Because I didn't know if I was going to wake up at 40. I could have been dead at 32. I could have been dead at 32. And I wasn't going to waste 32 years of living a lie and misery. So I left, and I made the choice to be true to myself. And talking to my family in that moment, I'll be quite honest, I was taken back, because for a hot second I was like, hearing all the, once again, the stuff that has been transpiring in my family. And I was just like, was I selfish all these years for choosing myself and not looking out for my mother, not thinking of my little sister, not, you know, it really did a number on me. And I was like, wow, I'm really selfish. Like, I'm really a fucked up person, I was thinking. And I was like, no matter how much you love yourself, I could have been there more for these people. But then I thought of it, right? And I was like, at the end of the day, I couldn't be there for these people if I wasn't there for myself first. And that's, you know, that's given. That's just common sense. But still, there was this lingering feeling from within that really took me for days. Because like I told you, it was a whole week. Now, I got involved in that situation early in the week. So I was really keeping contacts with them. And it was just such a weird feeling for me. Because once again, I haven't spoken to these people in 6 years. Especially to my mother. So I was just like, me back to texting, and not even texting any, because we're not in a relationship where she asks about, you know, the way she just glanced so casually about me having a radio show and we're talking. But it's okay, don't start the violence yet, because I know you guys are here for me, you guys are here listening, and I know you guys are listening, because every time I come out in the clubs, y'all are telling me about some shit that happened in the episode, and not even at the beginning of the episode. Sometimes it's at the middle of, you know, the random moments, like the middle, the 45 minutes in, 22 minutes in. So you guys are actually paying attention. And that means the world. Because at the end of the day, I'm doing this for myself, and I'm doing this for my community. And just people in general. Myself first, of course, because, listen, I have a life to live, and I'm trying to make the best of it. But I'm doing this for girls like me and girls like us. So thank you so much, guys. But yeah, so back to her. So it was just not even us talking, and oh my God, you know, this is a mother-daughter relationship like on a Lifetime movie. You know, she found life. She found God. No. This was my mother asking for some type of, you know, support in this situation. Just emotional and just being there for the family, whatever. And I was there. I did my due diligence. The situation has been, you know, it's been figured out right now. It's still a situation, you know, when drama happens, it's often not figured out in the span of a day. You might find a solution, but you still deal with the results. So we found a solution. We're dealing with the results, but it's whatever. But that happened in the very beginning, and it was just constant bad news after bad news from other people, you know. And a few things that really came up to my mind as I was trying to get this whole just week of me being alone and being able to deal with my sadness, and because I was still not able to deal with the sadness and the upsetness that I had from last Sunday. Now, mind you, I'm trying to deal with the emotions that I started feeling on Sunday. Tuesday, I'm getting a phone call from my long-lost mother. And then by Wednesday and Thursdays, I just get bad news from different type, like from work and from different interactions I have in my life. And I was just like, what is going on? I was thinking, I was like, is God trying to send me a message? Because you know I'm a Christian, I'm Catholic. I was raised Catholic. So whenever something happens, I'm always thinking, you know, as a martyr, I'm, is God trying to tell me something? Now, what's going on? Is there a light somewhere? Am I to make a discovery? Am I to discover something about myself? No, you're always trying to think of something. When you're Catholic, you spend your life thinking, what did I do wrong? What is God trying to teach me? What is God trying to punish me for? That's what Catholicism is about, you know? Beautiful churches with money stolen from other people and making yourself a victim. You've heard it here, you've heard it first. So basically, I was just trying my best to really look back and be like, okay, what can I learn? Because one thing about sitting down and trying to understand your feelings and trying to understand why you're feeling this way is often you have to understand, like I always tell you girls, love is not to be just, love and feelings both are not to be quantified or not to be justified or not to be explained. It is a feeling, it is an emotion. You have every right to feel the way you do, but it's up to you to decide how you're going to act up upon it. So basically, me trying to really deal with these emotions and just trying to get some type of light. Once again, I love this term, the light out of the tunnel. And one thing really came to my mind, right? Because once again, I had all these different venues and stuff and events that I had to attend. And I tried to put professionalism first and foremost, because one thing also I learned, and it's one thing that I've heard recently from a Cindy Crawford, funny enough, from a Cindy Crawford documentary. For those who don't know, Cindy Crawford is the iconic supermodel from the, I think, mid-80s, 90s, and she retired in 2002, so maybe a good 30 years almost. But 20 years, I'm sorry, 25, 30 years, whatever. But yeah, she said that one thing about her career and the reason why she got thus far is that whatever happened in her private life, she always made sure to keep somewhat of a stellar professionalism. Because she always knew that she couldn't let her emotions and her the drama and her personal life be the guiding forces of what she was to do in this world. And I fully agree with this, because I can't just be sit around, be sad, and let all of the good things that I could do and all of the joy that I could experience in the world wither and disappear. There's so much to be able to experience. There's so much to be able to be out and live for. And even when you think of ending it, so, you know, I won't even mention the word because it might be triggering to some people, but let's say if you come to a standstill and you're just thinking of ending it and just moving forward to the next thing, there's just so much you don't know. There's just so much we're not aware of. I could be president of some country tomorrow morning. Very unlikely, but you never know. God and the universe has so much in plan for all of us, and I feel like so many people don't realize that one essay, if it's not about a thing, it's another. Like I said earlier, it works both ways. If it's not about one bad thing, it could be another one that's worse. But if it's not about a good thing, it could be something that's better. And that's why I said, you know what? I have these events that I do have to show up to, because I gave my word. So I showed up. And you know what I found? I found light. I found joy from just being with my girls. I found some type of almost a feeling of, you know, just being able to breathe by just being surrounded with people that at the end of the day, they're not questioning who I am. They're not questioning my value. They're not questioning everything that I can do. They're not questioning me about anything. But one thing that I realized is when I was at home trying to think of all these things, trying to think of all these emotions that I was feeling, by talking to myself, by having those conversations with myself, I was indeed questioning myself, because what are you to do if you're looking for questions, for answers? Your question. And questioning yourself, because I still believe in having conversations with yourself. I was able to learn a lot this week, but I still believe in having conversations with yourself, because you should know yourself better. You should know yourself better than anyone else. And there's only one way to do so, is by understanding yourself. And by understanding yourself and finding the answers, once again, you have to ask the questions. But one thing that I found out over the weekend is just being surrounded by love, just being surrounded by people that care for you, just being surrounded by people, once again, that, and I cannot stress enough, that I will not question you. Because you cannot have people in your circles, have people in your life that just sit around and question everything you do, every intentions you have. Whether it's family, whether it's loved ones, whether it's chosen family, whether it's coworkers or people that you do business with, you simply cannot allow yourself to be in settings where your likelihood and your character is to be questioned every day, and your identity. That's going to drive you to insanity. That's going to make you unhappy and miserable. And that's what we're not trying to do in this day and age. But listen, it's 6:25. I was a little late earlier, but little reminder that you guys can call. You guys can send emails. If you want to call, 514-448-4013. If you want to send an email because you're a little bit shy, I get it. You know, it's okay. You can send an email at askmisschris@ckut.ca, and we'll be reading and answering the phone calls. But yeah, so back to the topic of finding the light. Because one thing about this week, right? It was eye-opening to a certain extent. It was eye-opening on a lot of things. First of all, the thing about me being selfish, right? It's really crazy because I always preach and preach and preach so much about choosing and putting yourself first. Because one thing about me, like I said, I'm quick with the chow. I'm quick with the goodbyes. If I feel like I'm not welcomed, if I feel like I'm not respected, if I feel like my likelihood or character is being questioned, I will leave. Because baby, oh, phone calls are ready. You guys are listening. I love that. So we're going to pick up the first one. What's up? Hey, baby. I'm good. Give me one sec. I'll put you on the line. Speak to me, baby. What's up?
Hello, Chris. How are you?
I'm good. What about you?
I'm good. I just wanted to bounce back on what you said about leaving your family years ago and feeling a bit of guilt for not catching up with them. Mm-hmm. And I just want to offer you my support because oftentimes, and you know, as you will keep the distance with your family, you will also realize that you might not have been where you are now if you would have stayed there, and even if you would have catched up. And also, you were saying that you were feeling some guilt because you were not sure if you were supporting your mother, but were they supporting you before you left?
Exactly.
This is also something that you have to consider. So I want to send you all the love and all the strength and tell you that you made the right decision.
That means the world. Thank you so much. And thank you for reassuring me on that because, yes, it is true. You're definitely right.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. So enjoy the rest of the show, but I wanted to tell you that.
Thank you, baby. I appreciate it a lot. I hope you have a beautiful day. I'll talk to you
soon. Thank you. You too.
Bye. Ciao. Thank you so much, guys. Honestly, what that person just said, I agree 100% because it is true. Like I always tell you girls, don't let yourself be in a space where you're not welcomed. That also means don't support, and not necessarily support, but don't go out of your way to show love and support to somebody that doesn't care for your well-being. Because as hard as I have to say, and you know, I'm not lying. I'll say it on open air and I'll say it on off air also because one thing about me, I'm not a liar. As much as I felt guilt for not supporting my mother and my family, I had to remember that there was days where I was starving. There were days where I was, for those who don't know, I wasn't born in this country. I was born in Haiti, and then I came to North America, Canada, specifically when I was 3 years old. So I only became a Canadian citizen in 2018. Let that sink in. I'll do the math for you. I came to this country in 2001. And I became a citizen of this country in 2018. A lot of you at home might be like, what the fuck? Why did it take so long? And I'll tell you why. Because I grew up with the kind of parents that felt it was a good idea to use my Haitian citizenship as a way of keeping me on the right track. Meaning that if I wasn't behaving and what they felt was a respectable behavior for, you know, my child, they would have no qualms in sending me back home to Haiti. And for maybe 15 years, this was a constant threat. A constant threat of sending me back home to something where they would teach me how to behave, or they would teach me what's good for me. So when I left my parents' house, I had no choice but to, you know, do this damn citizenship, because now I was an adult. And when I called for help, you know, just for all this paperwork and all these, because one thing I feel for anyone that's at home and that's dealing with citizenship and just immigration status situations and stuff and paperwork, it is hell. If you're having problems with it, I cannot be of any really significant help, but I can put you in contact with people that have helped me and I was able to guide me through a process years ago, right? Because I did this in 2017, 2018. So just shoot me an email and I'll send you the people, contacts and whatever. But so, you know, these people were not supporting me. And this is someone that, this is a whole family, a whole group of people that refused to help me getting my citizenship. Worse than that, that refused to help me on anything, that I haven't called a single time for Christmas, that hasn't called for a single birthday, this has been 6 years, that hasn't called for anything. So as bad as I felt, I was also deep in this, not resentment, because I don't resent them in any ways, because just like the caller just said, I wouldn't be where I am today if they hadn't done that. Because they taught me one thing, is that, and that one thing is that I've put myself in this world. If it's one thing that I know, is that if I don't do it for me, who the hell will? If I don't look out, if I don't look out for myself, nobody else will. If I don't love and put myself first, nobody else will. And that's something I cannot stress enough, because self-love has to come first. How can people love you if you don't love yourself? Because when you don't love yourself, you become a burden. Because you constantly seek reassurance. You constantly seek to be proved wrong, or to be proved right or wrong about, you know, you. You're in this constant emotional instability mindset almost. So self-love, when you know what's good for you, when you know what you want in life, when you know what you deserve, then you can have those conversations about setting the actual boundaries with the people around you. Because when you cannot know all of these things and you cannot set boundaries, it's not even that people do it purposely, but some people are just going to walk all over you because they think that's what you allow. And some of them are doing it on purpose. You know, you can't just give everybody the benefit of the doubt. Some people are willingly using and abusing you. But it's also up to you to know when to leave. It's up to you to know, you know what? This is not serving me. And I don't even like using the word serving, because I feel like I'm some type of spiritual healer. But this is not serving your greater purpose, if we're going in that route. This is not serving me. This is not serving my greater purpose. This is not bringing joy and happiness, in the words of Whitney Houston, in my life. Why am I here for? Let him or her abuse and use some other girl, some other boy, some other non-beanie, some other person. Not me. I know better. And what I know is that I deserve better. So self-love has to come first. So yeah, it was this week was a whole, that's the beginning of the week. If I was to get in details for the second part, and you know what? I'm going to get in details, because this show is about truthfulness. Tell me something good, I'll tell you something better. So once again, call up and let me know something better. Maybe. But anyways, yeah, I had to deal with and just voicing that, because, you know, I have this Instagram account that a lot of people most likely know about, because you probably wouldn't be checking out Miss Chris if you didn't know about my Christopher Maldo Instagram account. But yeah, I was speaking upon it on my close friends and just, you know, opening up, and it felt so silly speaking about it, because I was like, oh my God, you know, this is so, am I really complaining about that? But you do have to voice out how you feel. So I'm going to voice it out on air right now. And maybe a lot of people on air are going to be able to relate. And you will realize that it's not silly. Once again, feelings are not to be silly. You feel the way you do. And that's period. That's about it. But I just felt recently, it's so crazy, because, you know, I'm on this show and I have this platform, and I often talk about relationships and dating and sex and just, you know, how to just get along and mixy and just being in the mixiness of all things in this society. But I always make the joke that I have this show, funny enough, but I've never been married. One thing about my ring finger, it's constantly cold. I'm spilling this on air if somebody wants to put a ring on it. You know, I have no tan lines, which means there was never a ring to begin with. But I have this show, and I've never been married or like this fully years long committed relationship. But it's crazy, because I do a lot of dating. Yeah, I do a lot of quite a lot of dating. Yeah, ask anybody; they've seen me around and about town with different people, strange men and strange faces, and with strange faces, like when Tina Turner said. I'll play that song later on. But yeah, so I do a lot of dating, and it's just crazy, because one thing that I've realized, and all of these years of just going on all of these dates and spending different, you know, several weeks, several months, and situationships or even relationship with people, whatever, it's just that it's so easy. It's very easy when you love yourself so much, as I do, right? But not even so much, when you just love yourself openly and unapologetically. Because one thing that I'm known for is self-love and free love. I walk about somewhere and you'll know I love myself, because I love myself enough to take care of myself and present myself a certain way. I love myself enough to really hold myself to a certain standard of how I am as a human being. Because one thing I cannot let is my name and my reputation just be smeared in the sense that she's an awful person and that she's evil and that she's a liar and that, you know, I would hate for people to have the opportunity to say stuff like that about me. So I hold myself to the standards of, you will not be able to say I'm fucked up. Unless you got me fucked up, then we're both fucking up. And it's about that. But, you know, you're not about to go walking around town and say in this city that I worked so hard to be part of, that Miss Chris said this and that. You know, that's not about me. But when you love yourself so much and you make it known, and especially for me, beauty is a big part of my artistry when it comes to performing and when it comes to just, even when I do speaking engagements, you know, I've done TED Talks, I've done a medical conference, I do a lot of stuff like that. I have this radio show and whatnot. Visual beauty is a big part of what I do because I just love beauty. I have this love for beauty, for beautiful things. Beauty makes me happy. There's something just beautiful about beauty. It sounds corny, but there's something so that makes me smile, and that just brings happiness to my life when I see beauty in all aspects, whether it be physical beauty, whether it be the beauty of a situation, the beauty of a story, the beauty of my best friend Fanny getting engaged. I want to put it out right now. My friend is getting engaged, and that shit made me so happy. I was like living vicariously through her because there's beauty and love, and I know he's the right guy for her because he's treating her well. And I haven't seen her smile that much. I haven't seen her in quite a while because they've been in cahoots in South America for almost a year now. That's where she got engaged. But, you know, shout out to my girl Fanny. I cannot wait for the wedding. You already know, girl. You know, she told me, we'll be discussing the glam soon. I told her, bitch, you already know I was on it. I was already looking out the next hairstyle. And as I'm talking to you, my voice is shivering because, you know, that's such a good friend. But, you know, once again, the beauty of life, the beauty of love, the beauty of everything happening. So it's so easy when you get in the dating space, right? When you present yourself as this quote-unquote bad bitch, because, you know, when you're a girly girl that loves makeup, when you're just a person that's known to really always look nice, it's easy for people to use that in the sense that I came to the point of realizing that all the people I had been dating in the past 5 to 6 years, I couldn't find one of them that was seeing me for more than what I looked like. And that really broke me down. That broke me down a lot because I was like, well, damn. Because I remember a time where a lot of people know, but I used to always feel like I was the ugly. A lot of people that are close to me know that I always felt like the ugly duckling of my family, right? I had the light-skinned, beautiful, youthful mother because she had me very young. She had me at 23 years old. Look at me putting my whole mother's business out like that. But anyways, she had me rather young in her early 20s. And I had the very tall and muscular, dark-skinned dad, you know, very handsome, very charming. My dad is a Libra Scorpio, I think, so you see the type. And my sister was just such a doll when she was born. You know, she was born with a beautiful, we have good lashes in my family, so she was born with the thick lashes, the thick brows, just a beautiful little girl. And here was I, you know, feeling so awkward, feeling so ugly with my unibrow and my unperfect smile and my big old nose and everything. And my chubby cheeks, I felt so out of place. And I remember praying every night that God one day would make me a beautiful girl. And he did. Actually, God didn't make me anything because God always made me pretty. One thing that I learned later on is that society is a bitch and Eurocentric beauty standards are even more of a bitch. They'll get you down. They really will. If you're not taught early on that you have to love yourself within your own racial phenotype and identity, as, you know, not even comparing yourself to others, but if you're going to compare yourself to somebody, my mom was a big part of understanding that. She said, listen, baby, you cannot sit around and compare yourself to those skinny white boys in the magazines. She was like, baby, they don't look like you. You'll never look like them. Now, if you want to compare yourself to Denzel Washington, that's one thing. And, you know, my mom always was the one to bring a little laughter to it. But she was right. Even though I don't identify as a boy, back then was a different time. But if you really want to compare yourself, please do not use unachievable standards. It's just going to do the worst. And the moment that I learned that, to love myself and to love myself and my features and to really capitalize off being, because another mantra of mine is dark skin, bad bitch energy. One thing about me is I will not feel insecure about my dark skin. If anything, every summer, you might see me at Lac des Castors, at Parc Piscine Laurier, getting my tan, my skanky on with a nice little one, not even a one piece, a nice little thong, you know, a very skanky bathing suit, giving real South of France. Just so my butt cheeks can tan just the right amount, you know, to have that little tan line. I like those skanky look. But I'll get darker because there's beauty in being dark. There's beauty in being a dark-ass bitch. A dark-skinned bad bitch. So back to those people. Those people, they knew that a big part of my identity and a big part of my quote-unquote brand, because being an artist, that comes also if you're at home and being able to relate. Because one thing about us artists and 2022 and this generation is that because of social media, we are such a visual generation that a lot of our artistry has to be linked with what we look like, which means that a lot of us tend to put so much emphasis on our visual identity, especially as queer people. And that's normal and reasonable, because often it's the only way we can be reaffirming in who we feel and identify as. But here comes this time when all of this glam and all of this appeal that you put on, and then the people that you're dating don't seem to be seeing right through. And the reason why I say that is because for a lot of them, that it ended up badly, you know, as bad as it did, even if, let's say, because often I'm not the one, you know, I don't want to pride myself too much, but I'm often not the one fucking up, because I'm often the one leaving. But for the ones that I fucked up and stuff, I couldn't recall one single time where I met them after we, you know, we had separated, we had left each other, whatever, where the emphasis wasn't on, oh my God, Chris, you look so beautiful today. Oh my God, you look as best as ever. And I was like, bitch, what about what you did to me? What about, hey, Chris, I know we haven't spoken in 6 months, but I just want to say, I apologize. Like, I know I fucked up. I know. It wasn't cool. What about that? What about, hey, Chris, if you don't know, you're the one that fucked up, how come you just disappeared? Or, you know, so many different things that somebody could bring up, or just when you saw me perform somewhere, just when you saw that I have a fucking radio show every Monday, you still have one thing to bring up, and it's the way I look. And as a trans girl, as a non-binary girl, it's, to a certain extent, some part of it is reaffirming, because, oh, cute, okay, yeah, I am a pretty girl, thank you for reminding me that. But another part of me is that it's feeling like, well, damn, it's always going to be about love and beauty and sex. These people can never fully deal with my identity. These people can never fully deal with me on an emotional way, because they don't know me emotionally. Because that's on my end, but I don't open up enough to people. I'm very much keeping myself together, and if it really, 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 really is about to make me explode, then I'll open up. But if I can handle it, I'll handle it on my own. And that's on me. These men, these queers, these people, they don't know better than they know Miss Chris. They don't know Miss Chris for her emotional baggage, and that's okay. But the fact that I couldn't recall any real relationship where I felt validated for my, maybe one only, and that was my first one. That was years ago, but we don't count the first relationship, because often, what do you know on your first relationship? You don't know anything. You're getting along just to get along often, because you want the, you know, the white horse and the carriage and everything. But the other ones that I had been with, it was just, I was really sitting down and I was like, well, maybe him. And I was like, him, bitch? Not him, because the only thing he always had to say about you, he never called you smart. He only called you pretty. He only called you sexy. He only called you gorgeous. What about him then? Him? He always wanted to be seen outside with you at parties because it's a good look for him. But he never once bothered to know what you were doing for your career. He never showed up to any of your shows. And you know, and the list keeps on going on, and I was just like, well, damn, do I really have anything else to offer? And it really killed me how, for someone that preaches so much how much I love myself, just all of these different interactions that I've had with people in that last week that really got me down, was able to really get me down to the point where I was questioning my worth, which is something I hadn't done since I was 16 or 17 years old. And that really shook me, because I was like, once again, I thought I had everything figured out when it comes to life, when it comes to emotional stability, when it comes to mental stability. Because what? Because I refuse to be unhappy. But life teaches you something else. Life teaches you that you don't have a choice in the matter. At the end of the day, you have a choice in seeking out help. You have a choice in facing out the darkness to be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. You have the choice to put yourself first and try to understand your emotions, because you have to try to understand how you feel. And sometimes you won't understand how you feel. Sometimes you'll just feel like, why am I reacting that way? Why am I so sad? This is ridiculous. I shouldn't feel that way. And it's okay to feel that way also. But you can't beat yourself constantly about it. You have to feel it. You just have to feel it. And one thing that I do have to learn, and I want to thank my friends for it, is isolation is not always the key. Yeah, isolation is definitely not always the key. It worked for me for years, but I think post-pandemic, once again, I said, and I said, I think a few episodes ago, and I also said that in the medical conference for those that are listening and that were watching that day, the pandemic really did a number on all of us. And I think all of us were slowly really coming to terms and in terms of realizing that we are not the same people we used to be. Therefore, the things that we used to do will probably not work as much as they used to. You can't just live your life on the basis on, well, this is how I was dealing with stuff before the pandemic, so that's what I'm going to keep on doing. Because not only are you always growing up, you're always growing. It's a constant journey. But after going through something as traumatic for all of us and as so eventful, eventful as the pandemic and the several lockdowns and everything and the people that we've lost has been, and the opportunities and everything that people have lost, you cannot just sit at home and think, well, I know how life is. I'm sitting here every Monday at 6, and I'm telling you what I think life is about. Because like I said, I'm shy of my 24th birthday, which is in less than 17 days, I think. So keep track. I don't know when my birthday is going to be this year. Oh, we have a caller. Give me 1 sec, guys. Hey, what's up? Of course, I'll put you on the line. Talk to me, baby. What's good?
Hey, Chris. It's Anna. I'm listening to your show in the park.
Hey.
And I want to ask you, what are things that you love for your partner to do, or what are things that you want to cultivate more in your romantic relationship?
Oh, that is... Wow. That's such a great question. During the pandemic, I feel like I was lacking, in a way, physical intimacy. Because I realized sex and physical intimacy are two different things. We can have sex without physical intimacy, and you can have physical intimacy with sex, without sex. So it's definitely one thing I was craving a lot in a relationship during the latest lockdown. But I would say other than physical intimacy and outside of sex, one of the things that I crave a lot is someone that is just going to accept me fully. Someone that I don't have to explain myself to, in the sense that I can explain to you who I am as a person so you can get some clarity and where I stand, but I don't want to have to constantly explain what am I and who am I and what, you know. You have to just feel me and be able to understand me to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm. We are who we are.
We are who we are, indeed. So, you know, I just want to be with somebody that is going to understand that and take me as everything that I am. That's the only thing I'm asking for. Take me as I am.
Well, happy Taurus season, and I send you a big kiss for that.
Thank you, baby. I'll see you soon. Bye. All right, guys. I am parched. So, as I'm going on a little break, I'm about to play a song. And as I said, this is a song for my baby, Hugo. It's her birthday. It's his birthday today. And this song has some meaning to her personally. It's also a hit, so you guys are going to love it, I'm sure. So, just for you, Hugo... If I can get to play the damn song. You would think after all these episodes, I would get the hang of it. But hey, give me 1 sec. Or if somebody else wants to come on the line, once again, call up, tell me something good. I'll tell you something better. There we go. So, for my baby Hugo, it is Thank You by Dido. This always happens. I'm really gonna have to. So bad. And we are back after some technical difficulties, but what an amazing song, wasn't it? I love Miss Dido. You girls really need to get on into that album. It was Life for Rent, I think, her first album. Amazing. All of these songs, they just be having me fingers in the air and, you know, feeling it and all. But hey, I want to put out a little things because we only have like less than 10 minutes left. So I do want to put out, I'm working on this very special episode for Mother's Day, right? And I would simply love, and I'm putting this out here, if you're a listener, if you're a mom, if you're a queer mom, if you're a mom of queer kids, let me know. Hit me up. The email is askmisschris@ckut.ca. I just want to either have you girls, you mothers, have your mothers like on a, in the show to do like a little episode so we can talk about how it is to be a mother of a queer child or just to be a queer mom. And if you girls are a bit, if you ladies are a bit, nervous about the idea of being on air and everything, it's totally fine. What I do also, like I did for my first episode ever, I know some people remember, but I went on a full carry from Sex and the City moment where I was just having coffees with a multitude of people to have interviews, and we can do that over coffee. You know, I'm a nice chat. We have a nice little chat over coffee. You tell me everything that you want to tell me, and I'll ask you the questions that I feel like I want to know. And yeah, I'll take notes. I won't put any name. One thing about me, I keep a secret. Personal lives are personal lives. So don't be shy about that. You can come and it would be amazing. I just feel like I want to give proper thanks and proper shout out to mothers that do care and make a difference. Because a lot of my, some of my friends are so lucky enough to have mothers that even if they're not fully good with the language, even if they're not fully good with their views and the way they see and understand things, these are people that are still learning because it's just about ignorance. Some people are ignorant and some people are willfully miserable and evil in their ignorance, but others are just they don't know any better. They, you know, they're older. That's all they've been taught all their lives. They're from a different generation. But I know a lot of ladies that are mothers of queer kids and that are constantly doing the work and having open conversations with their children on various topics, including queerness, and understanding and saying that, you know, right now I might have this view and it might be fucked and I don't know why I feel this way. But I know it's something I have to work on. And when I have a better understanding of my feelings, because once again, it's about understanding how you feel, I will be able to give you an answer. And that's something word for that my friend's mom told her. And honestly, that was one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard. Just her being able to be like, I know me thinking that way is wrong. But that's all I've known all my life. But I'm working on it. And I understand that it's wrong. And I understand that this is how you identify. And that this is how you want to live your life. And that this is how you feel. And that was just so beautiful, you know? I love that. I love just open and honest conversations, because you do need that to thrive in any type of relationship. Just like I told Anna earlier, I want somebody to take me as a whole. That's that sounded like with a whole lot of innuendos. Anyways, I want somebody that takes me wholefully, wholeheartedly. I want someone that understands me, not some parts of me, that understands me as a person. And if you don't, please make me feel like you're doing the work to do so. And don't take something for granted that, well, she must be like this because that's the way she is in general for that. We are multifaceted people. All right? Now listen, people, this was a cutesy episode, but as I'm seeing my phone blowing up, I have some plans. So once again, you can always hit me up for the Mother's Day episode. You know, just hit me up on the askmisschris@ckut.ca. And yeah, we have a week before Mother's Day, I think, so you can also call me back on 514-448-4013. And the last song I'm about to play is one song that definitely I play often when it comes to me and how I feel with mental illness. Because, you know, sometimes you just have to put yourself in a sad mood, right? To really be able to cry it out or whatever. But this song is called Oh Mon Chéri by the wonderful Annick Jean, which is a Quebecois singer. This is a classic from back in the days, my childhood. So hear it out, and I'll see you next week.
Hey, just CKUT 90.3 FM.
Welcome to Dragon Root Radio, feminist waves brought to you by CKUT and the Center for Gender Advocacy.
The Dragon Root Media Collective aims to bring you feminist content that challenges interlocking systems of oppression and makes space for voices systemically silenced. Dragon Root understands media as being inherently political and emphasizes media skill sharing as a form of resistance.
We meet every other Wednesday at 6 p.m. at the Center for Gender Advocacy and welcome anyone interested in learning or producing feminist media to join. No skills required. Welcome to Dragon Root Radio. On today's show, we have the chance to speak with artist Ona Liu about her upcoming album, as well as what it's like to be one of the 2.1% of women music producers in the industry. Here is our interview with Ona Liu.
I am Ona Liu. I am from Argentina. I moved to Canada, to Winnipeg in 2016. I'm a singer and songwriter, and I focused mostly in fusion of Latin American traditional genres. I try to bring them to a contemporary songwriter kind of sound. I love the idea.